Blog Talk Radio.
Live on location, it's the Roman Show, back with full entertainment, talking about sports entertainment tonight, and so much more on this February 12th of 2013, and we have an exciting show, starting off with our first guest, the king of old school ECW veteran, Steve Corino, will be on the line here on the program live, as we are transmitting on location near the University of Miami. Followed by top prospect Ricky Reyes, who had a tryout with the World Wrestling Entertainment. Listen from both of these guys. If you want to interact with us, make sure you follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. You can also like our fan page on Facebook. Just look up The Roman Show. And with that being said, guys, enough of the talking, and let's get this show on the road, as The Roman Show will surely bring you a high-impacting show. Let's start.
You are about to listen to The Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back. Relax. Stay up to date. Let The Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate, 714-868-0222. Let The Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you? When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Ho! Hey, folks. I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I'd like to listen to The Roman Show, tough guy. Ho!
Yo, hey, monkey, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion, and you, for you, monkey, you're listening to The Roman Show, and that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing.
I be on my suit and tie shit.
Alright, the Roman Show has begun. Zimmerdick says you can't wait till you get them to see inside, but I can't wait to get the Roman Show started. Welcome along, guys, to the Roman Show. February 12th, we are on location right near the University of Miami, the number 3 ranked college basketball team right now. The University of Miami Hurricanes are on top. In fact, they could even, if they keep on winning, they could be either number 1 or 2 and could have a good ride in the Final Four tournament. Good luck to the University of Miami. First time they've been ranked this high. So good for the University of Miami Hurricanes. So with that said, guys, I want to talk a little sports here before we bring in our first guest, Steve Corino, the king of hardcore, the king of old school, which he will fight, ladies and gentlemen. Ring Warriors, February Fury, Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. If you're in South Florida, Broward College South Campus, Gym Building 65, that is where you need to be on February 23rd, guys. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is going to be a spectacular fight card. We got the address is 7200 Pines Boulevard, Pembroke Pines. The main event will feature the Ring Warriors Grand Championship with the marquee Bruce Santee, the champion, versus the king of old school, Steve Corino. I checked out some of their promos, and Corino says that he is a living wrestling legend. I'll talk to him about that later on today on the program. So Corino versus Santee, Ring Warriors Grand Championship main event, followed the co-main event. There's going to be Ring Warriors Global Tag Team Championship featuring Wes Frisco and the VIP Cassidy Riley. They are the champions versus the Black Nature Boy and Scoot Andrews. By the Black Nature Boy, Scoot Andrews and Billy Five. Also, the Battling Bombshell Championship will be on the line with La Rosa Negra versus Amber Rodriguez. You have the FOW champ, V. Sean Allen, versus the Black Stallion, Frank Stone. Former TNA wrestler, Jesse Neal, versus Corey Chavez. JD Maverick versus Johnny Vandal. And the King of Florida, Francisco Schiasto, versus the British Lion, Tommy Taylor. That's going to be all the action. February 23rd, Broward College South Campus Gym. I'm pumped for that one. I sure damn am. Guys, follow the action on Twitter at the Roman Show. That's R at Roman DH. Sorry, at Roman DH. Sorry, I'm a little ahead of myself today. I just had some coffee. You got to love the coffee. But you know what? I am kind of ticked off about something. And so is the entire wrestling world. Because we were just informed today, aside from the situation happening right now in California, where they got Christopher Dorner, former cop who was fired, LAPD, and is now unleashed vengeance against the department. Apparently, he is locked in the cabin. It's engulfed in flames right now. An officer has actually lost his life during the shootout. Things are intense right now. Hopefully, things can get resolved because it seems that people just weren't happy to be walking around the area. And the latest news is that a deputy has been killed in the hunt for Dorner, and the cabin burns. Also, we got the State of the Union, so we'll try to make this thing quite quickly here in the show, because I know we gotta hear what the President Barack Obama has to say, followed by Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, who is going to do he's going to do two versions of his rebuttal, because he's going to do it in English, and then he's going to be following in Spanish, so that's pretty cool. We'll see what he'll be speaking about, but let's talk about this wrestling thing. The Olympics has mentioned that it's going to drop wrestling from the Olympics. Now, what the... Listen, I don't get that mad here on the show. I have a lot of fun. But listen. What the F? Seriously. You're going to drop the wrestling from the Olympics? Wrestling has been in the Olympics since the beginning. And people are just upset. Listen, Dixie Carter, the TNA president, she even said, who runs the TNA, she said, like, I can't believe the Olympics. Decision today. Let your voices be heard. Hashtag Save Olympic Wrestling. But yeah, Shelton Benjamin is urging all of his followers to support wrestling in the Olympics. Who else spoke on the yesterday? Kurt Angle, who is a former Olympic gold medalist, he even said hashtag save Olympic wrestling, show your love for the sport. Shawn Michaels, Alberto Del Rio, all these guys are going out there in support. A lot of fighters from mixed martial arts have gone out there and protested to put back the Olympics in, to put wrestling in the Olympics. Nano Cormier, he was a former Olympic wrestler. A whole bunch of these guys were amateur wrestlers. They competed in the collegiate level. And wrestling is such a sport that means so much for a lot of countries. For example, Iraq, Iran, they love wrestling over there. And for these countries, it's the only opportunity they have to win a medal because they don't play any other sport. You know, they pretty much invest all their marbles into wrestling. The Iron Sheik has gone out and protested against this decision by the Olympic Committee. In fact, he even said after thousands of years, they take away the sport, the best sport in the world. This is the first time the dumb blank have no balls, for they make the walking on an Olympic sport. Now, this is Iron Sheik, of course, doesn't speak the best English. But. And then he also added, if I see anybody in the street that worked from the IOC, I swear to Jesus, I suplex them, put them in a camel clutch, break their back, make them humble. And then the team, hashtag Team Sheiky, respect the Olympic now. They can all go blank themselves and make the curling Olympic sport because they all, the biggest piece of no good blank, and I never watch the Olympic again. Also buy my T-shirt. Well, that's the Iron Sheik for you. But a former Olympic wrestler, Rulon Gardner, has also is destroying his uproar, and the guy's upset. He is just definitely mad at the situation. And he says, as a two-time Olympian, I think it's a shame to drop the sport of wrestling, one of the original Olympic sports. Totally agree with you. Now, they're not completely ruling out the sport from the Olympics. There is a small percentage there that could return back. It's up to the Olympic Committee to vote them back in when they have some of the voting in September in South America. And again, this is for proposing it for the 2020 Summer Games. It will still be in the 2016 Games, where it's scheduled to be taking place in Brazil. But as of right now, it's dropped from the 2020 Summer Games. It's just, come on. If you're going to have modern pantalon, come on, whatever the heck this thing is. And you can't have wrestling. You have synchronized swimming, but you can't have wrestling. You have shooting, and you can't have wrestling. You cannot take wrestling away from the Olympics. When you think of the Olympics, you think of wrestling. When you think of the Olympics, you think of running. And those are just two sports that go with this competition. The entire world wrestles. Heck, who doesn't remember as a kid, you know, wrestling your brother or your friends? It's just something that's in us. We love to just grapple and try to slam each other. It's just something in it, and you're going to eliminate it from the Olympics? It's seen all over the world. Golf and rugby will be joining the games at the 2016 games in Rio de Janeiro. Come on, man. Golf? Okay, I'll give you rugby, but golf? And you're going to take away wrestling? Look, wrestling is known as the world's oldest competitive sport. It dates to cave drawings found as far back as 3000 BC and was part of the ancient Olympics in 708 BC. When the modern games resumed in 1996, wrestling was one of the nine sports of the program. And you're going to take away wrestling? Very upsetting, and I apologize. It just means to me, myself, I was a wrestler. I wrestled in high school. I love the sport. It means dear to me. It changed my life, both physically. It matured me as a young kid. It disciplined me. And to this day, I look back at the times that I wrestled in the match. Coach would tell me to do this and do that. And all those little things that I learned because of the sport, it just really upsets me. Listen, you can go to Keep Wrestling in the Olympics. They have a Facebook page. Go ahead and like it right now as we speak, guys, because we need to save this sport from the Olympics. Don't take away wrestling from the Olympics. It is part of the Olympics. Save wrestling. Now we're going to get a hold of Steve Carino, the king of old school on the line, here in the Roman Show. Follow the action at Roman DH.
Hello?
Steve, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show. Rodolfo Roman here. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Awesome, Steve. Steve, sorry, I apologize. I'm a little heated today because I'm sure you heard the news. They're taking out wrestling from the Olympics. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm pretty ticked off at this situation. I don't know, how do you feel about this situation happening right now?
I am the total opposite. All day I've been hearing about, yes, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, Olympic wrestling, the Olympics are probably the most boring 2 weeks of your sports because you have to look for it. You're it's on at certain times because of different, you know, time zones of where the sports are at. I mean, unless you have a good DVR and you're trying to, you know, and sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not really going to get the sport that you want. Now, years ago, the Olympics canceled baseball, which is my favorite sport of all time. What did baseball do? Instead of crying and moaning about it, they created the World Baseball Classic, which is the best baseball competition that, you know, you can actually watch. The people that like baseball love the World Series, but the World Baseball Classic is actually like countries competing against each other. And I think, if anything, this is an opportunity for the wrestling community, the amateur wrestling community, to get together and put on like a World Wrestling Classic of all the great countries that, you know, do wrestling, and, you know, they could get their own spot and put it on TV somewhere or on demand, and, you know, we don't have to sit through the curling or the, you know, all the boring sports that really no one gives two craps about. I think, if anything, this could be a good thing for wrestling.
Yeah, looking at it that way, you're totally right on that. I must agree. But knowing the fact that the wrestling has been such an old sport, one of the first sports to be part of the Olympics. But you do have a point there with the whole baseball classic, which I personally have attended. And I saw yourself, you got your pair of tickets. You're coming to the World Baseball Classic here in South Florida?
Well, my buddy Gino is. I'm trying to convince him to give me the other ticket.
Now, anyone in particular, well, obviously you're rooting for the USA, although I think the last time around it was Cuba and Japan, I think it was?
In Japan. Japan's won it both times, which is crazy considering that baseball is, you know, a, quote-unquote, an American sport. You know, Japan has won it, you know, two times in a row, and America hasn't even been in the finals. So, like, this is a big year for America to step up, and I love how the players are all taking it seriously. It's not like, you know, they're sitting out and thinking, well, you know, I just won't be ready for the major leagues. You know, these guys are taking it seriously, and they want to win because it is bragging rights. You know, baseball, they say, is an American sport, but, you know, look how many different countries now are taking it. Even Australia has baseball right now, and they're producing some good talent. So I'm excited. The Japanese are going to be hard to beat, but the Americans might step it up this time. But the Cubans, the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, man, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, no, well, if you do come down here, I'll be sure to hang out and watch the game because I personally love it. Although I'm a little ticked off. I'm a Marlins fan, and after what they did to us, it's no longer the same. You know, with the
man,
whole
I feel bad
team.
For you.
Man, and listen, I've been a big fan since 1992 when they came up with the whole idea, and we felt betrayed. You know, I was one of the guys that was actually supporting the stadium. And then we find out last year, boom, they sell out everyone. They're possibly thinking of getting A-Rod in there, but the guy is not what he used to be. You know, it's just pretty much to bring in some butts in the seats. But, you know, what they did to us was just, you know, we have a farm team. We have a farm system right now, basically. And we don't know half the guys' names on the team, which is very upsetting. So,
well, at least you're not going to be the Houston Astros. the Astros are going to be bad. The Marlins are going to be bad. But at least, you know, like, I'm a big Phillies fan, so you're in our division. We both have the Mets to beat up on this year. So the Marlins will do okay. They'll rebuild. They always draft well, and they always got, like, a good minor league system. And it just seems like every, you know, few years, ownership buys, you know, all these free agents, takes a shot at it, and then dismantles the team right away. And it has to be frustrating to be a Marlins fan.
Oh, you don't understand, Steve. It's really bad. Well, Steve, let's talk about February 23rd, facing out the Ring Warriors champion, Bruce Santee. Ring Warriors presents February Fury, February 23rd, Broward College South Campus Gym, building 657200 Bynes Boulevard. He'll be traveling down here to Florida to fight the marquee Bruce Santee, who has a loud mouth, Steve. And I saw your promo there. You're saying that, you know, you haven't really faced anyone, Bruce, until you face me, because I am the true wrestling living legend. So what can you tell about this match coming up February 23rd?
It's going to be something else, you know. Bruce Santee is the best way I can describe him is a bully. Man, he's the bully on the block now. He's big, he's strong, he's so talented, and he's bitter, man. Like, lemons think that this guy is bitter. He thinks he deserves to be on Monday Night Wrestling, and you know what? He does. He's got all the tools, but he's missing one thing. And like I said in the promo, you know, February 24th when he wakes up and he doesn't have that belt in his hands, he's going to go, oh, my God, I know the missing piece to get me to the next level. And in the meantime, I'll become the Ring Warriors Grand Champion. But, you know, Bruce Santee is one of those guys that I've watched develop over the last 10 years, whether it be like when the old IPW days, NWA Florida days. You know, I've watched him develop into this monster. And, you know, he has a presence. And, you know, he comes into the locker room and, you know, he looks legit. And I've seen him bully around guys and stuff like that. But now he's getting in the ring with Steve Corino, a guy that's, you know, you want to talk about being bullied? Guys have tried to bully me for 19 years, and I'm still fighting. You know, I'm still getting up. I've been kicked in the face. I've lost teeth. I've broken noses. I've broken ribs. I've broken bones all over, and I still keep getting up. So that's the one thing that he's not going to be ready for on February 23rd, is a guy, especially an older guy, he's going to keep getting up and keep bringing the fight to him. I ain't going to be pushed over, and I'm not going to be intimidated. Man, I love collecting championship belts, and that's what, you know, I got into this business for. I didn't get in to become a millionaire. I got in to, you know, build myself a legacy and become a true legend. February 23rd, I cement that legend.
There it is, February 23rd, Broward College South Campus, gym building number 65, Ring Warriors presents February Fury, Corino versus Santee for the championship, the Ring Warriors Grand Championship. Make sure you check it out, along with a whole long list of matches. Now, Corino, how did this fight come about between you and Santee? And I know Santee's been very outspoken, especially online. He had a little feud there with an NWA champion. How did this match get started? How did it come about?
You know, it's one of those things. You know, I think, you know, the brain trust at Ring Warriors is thinking, you know what, let's bring in some higher profile guys for Bruce Santee to beat. You know, let's get him that exposure that he needs, you know, to get him to that next level. And they made a mistake. You know, I love that. But Adam came in. Vader's, you know, a legend. But he had a different agenda when he came in. When they booked me to make, you know, for me to come in and thinking that Santee was going to steamroll all over me, big mistake. I'm ready. You know, I live for this. I live for the challenge. This guy's huge. You know, he's strong, mean, everything. And, you know, this is where I thrive. This is where, you know, coming into this company, Ring Warriors, and I've known Howard Brody for years. When I was the NWA champion, he was the NWA president. 13 or 12 years later, he's going to be part of the brain trust of Ring Warriors, and I'm going to be his champion. And it's going to be a great fight, and that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a wrestling match. You're going to see other matches on the show, you know, the tag team title match. That's going to be a wrestling match. The head, other guys on the show, that's going to be a wrestling match. Me and Santee, that's going to be a fight. And I ain't backing down.
And fights you know many of, because, you know, I was just looking at some of your past matches, the Yoshihiro Tajiri, which you have stated, it's probably one of your toughest matches that you've ever had back in ECW Hardcore Heaven 2000. You know, looking back at that, you know, 13 years ago, the next day after that match, how was your body, Steve?
It was awful, and I was young back then. You know, you're talking, you know, 27 years old at the time. Now, you know, I'm more mature. You know, I've been through the wars and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm no longer the the private in the army, man. I'm the general, so I know how, you know, to duck a punch, move away, stick and move, you know, try and make sure that, like, that punishment doesn't happen to me anymore. And, you talk about the matches with Tajiri or Gary Lynn or even in Japan with Hashimoto, Kawada, Masato Tanaka. You know, I've been known to take beatings before, but you know what? I keep getting up. I'm still here 19 years later. Man, I don't go away. I'm that bad STD that you can't get rid of. And I'm still here. And on February 23rd, man, Santee's got, you know, his work cut out for him.
And see, what keeps you going in wrestling? Because you had a retirement tour, and then you're back at it again inside the squared circle.
It's the love, man. It's the love. It's once you get in that ring, and once you feel, you know, everything that goes with it, you know, the crowd, the stink of the arena, the horrible travel to get there, all the bad things that, like, you have to put up with, the second you get in that ring and that bell rings, everything is what you dreamed of when you were 8 years old and you were watching it. Now, I came from the school of, you know, going to the Philadelphia Civic Center every month and watching Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard and all my heroes, and then, you know, going into and watching the independents with the old Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, which ended up becoming like ECW. You know, it was that thrill and remembering what I loved about wrestling every time I stepped through those ropes. And it keeps me going, you know. They're saying that you can never really retire from wrestling, you just die. And that's right, you know. People have tried to leave wrestling, but it's so hard, you know, because this is such a great industry. And no matter what, you know, guys will complain and they'll moan, oh, I didn't do this or I didn't do that or I should have been this. But at the end of the day, man, we all lived our dreams to become that professional wrestler that we dreamed about as a kid. That's what keeps me going.
Now, you know, something I always remember about you, Steve, is your promos. They were just exceptional back in the ECW days, and I'm sure you still got them because I just saw one right now online. But do you keep up with some of the guys that you will wrestle with at ECW, like Paul Heyman right now, who's doing a great, phenomenal role of being the leader of CM Punk and The Shield and WWE? Do you keep up with some of these guys?
I try to, you know, which is, talking about like ECW, Rhino now is pretty much like a full-time member of the Ring of Honor's crew, which is great because, you know, it's been so long since we've been together, and it feels just like, you know, yesterday. But, you know, I bump into Tommy Dreamer every once in a while, and I like what he's doing, you know. Heyman is man, he's a warrior. He's still out there. He's still doing it. He still, you know, lands on his feet. And he's such a great mouthpiece for CM Punk, and he makes it so legitimate. You know, people can say what they want about Paul. I love Paul Heyman. You know, he did a lot for me. He gave me the platform to be who I am today. And if it wasn't for a guy like Paul Heyman taking a chance with me, you know what? Maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. Maybe I'd be the guy buying the ticket on February 23rd to watch me and Santee instead of participating in that main event. But, you know, there's other guys that I try and, you know, watch. Masato Tanaka is one of my closest friends in Japan. You know, I love watching, like, the evolution of him. Tajiri, I'm still in touch with. Super Crazy, I'm still in touch with. So, C.W. Anderson, I talk to a few times a week. There's a lot of guys that, you know, that we've been through the ringer together, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, and, you know, we're still hanging.
Yeah, that's just amazing. You know, one thing I commend you is the fact that you're a wrestler that really sticks to your beliefs. I was reading on you that you got a trial with WWE, and you said, you know what, I'm just too old school for this, and many other wrestlers will go out and complain and say, oh, well, they didn't give me this. But you stepped to your ground. You fairly believe, listen, this is just not for me when you got that tryout with the WWE.
Yeah, you know, it's some people can't do what they want to do. And people can complain about the WWE all they want and, you know, how wrestling isn't the same. And they got to understand that wrestling today is not wrestling from 1995 and wrestling from 1995 isn't the same as 85 and so on and so on. Wrestling evolves, and if you're going to sit there and you're going to be bitter about, you know, what could be, what should have been, and stuff like that, you're just going to be sitting in the same place instead of, you know, enjoying what you can do. You know, I like to wrestle. I like to entertain. I like to be in people's faces. I like, you know, will that make me a career minor leaguer for the rest of my life? Probably, but it's okay. You know, Crash Davis and Bull Durham made a great career being a, you know, a minor league catcher, and it was a great career for him. Maybe it's the same thing for me. Maybe I am that guy that had that cup of coffee in the big time years ago and spends the rest of his career trying to help other guys make it. And, you know, I'm glad to have a hand in stuff like that. I'm glad to have a hand in, like, a company of Ring of Honor where everybody's so young. And here I am, almost 40 years old, still kicking and still trying to compete with these guys. And, you know, it makes it a lot of fun.
So tell me right now what your role at the Ring of Honor. I know you have that stable there, the scum. But what's the status right now with ROH? And I know you have some seminars, especially here in Florida. So let the folks down here so they can go ahead, sign up, and meet you in person and learn a thing or two about you.
Yeah, you know what? The seminars are going to be great. Going back to Ring of Honor real quick, you can watch Ring of Honor TV in your market. We're in 64 different markets. If you can't watch it on the TV market, you can watch it online at ROHWrestling.com. And then seminars, I've been doing seminars for about 6 or 7 years now. And I have a good set seminar. Like, other guys come in and try to teach you stuff in the ring in that 2 hours and stuff. Now, mine is a sit-down. It's like a classroom atmosphere where we learn how to survive in professional wrestling. And it's basically going over the little things that you forget as a professional wrestler because we overthink or we don't think enough, whether it become marketing, whether it becomes psychology, whether it be breaking down what we do, whether it be statistics. You know, people forget, like, you know, you have to research your core audience. And it's good. It's a 2.5-hour one. I'm doing one on April 13th in Orlando, Florida. And it's good chance for, you know, guys to come, and especially guys that, you know, aren't on the ROH radar right now. It's something that they can come, they can listen, you know, they can participate. And then, you know, maybe I take it back to ROH office and be like, oh, you should have saw this guy in my seminar. This guy had the, you know, not only did he have the look or the skill, he had the mindset. And that's what you need, because ROH is TV wrestling now. It's not the Gabe Sapolsky, you know, ROH of 2003. It's, you know, it's a television product now, so you have to be TV ready. And, you know, I get a seminar February 24th in San Antonio, Texas, and I love to do it because it gives me a chance to tell guys what I learned as a young professional wrestler, not just in 1994, but every year, everything that's come to me, and I write it down, and, you know, it gives me a chance to give back. And, you know, they're a lot of fun. We keep them light. And at the end of the day, these guys get a forum to, like, think and participate and, you know, become better, not just wrestlers, but they become, you know, better thinkers.
And what do you think the current status of wrestling is right now? You know, there many say that it's getting some competition from MMA. Some of the folks that watched it religiously back in the late 90s, 2000s, when it was booming, say, yeah, wrestling's not same anymore, it's for little kids. Well, what do you think the status is? And do you think now we've reached that limit where there's niches? You know, if you're that type of guy that watched the ECWs, you can go to ROH, or you can go to a Chikara if you want pure, you know, unique wrestling. What's your status on this? What's your opinion?
Me, I don't think wrestling's broke. You know, I keep hearing, oh, wrestling isn't the same, or it's this or that, or WWE is too watered down, and it's a different world, you know. It's a different world out there, and wrestling evolves. Whether you call it sports entertainment or hardcore or lucha libre, at the end of the day, it's always professional wrestling. There's just so many different styles. And I think, if anything, in 2013, with the internet, fans have a choice. You have a choice to, you know, watch. If you don't like WWE or TNA or ROH, man, you pop on your computer and you can see 100 different styles. You can watch Big Japan wrestling and CZW wrestling if you like hardcore. You know, there's independence all over the place. Me, I love Major League Baseball. Like we said in the beginning, I love Major League Baseball. It's my favorite thing. But sometimes I like to go to a minor league game, whether it be Class A, Double A, Triple A, and stuff like that, for something different. Man, I love pizza, and I can eat pizza every day, but I'd love it from 7 different places that week. You know, there's such a variety of wrestling out there that, you know, I think, if anything, it's a great time for wrestling. I wish more people would stop complaining about, well, it's bad, or it's not this, or it wasn't what it was, and think about, man, what, you know what, if it's not what you think it is, go out and find what is, you know, the wrestling that you like, because it's out there. man, there's so many different groups out there, you know, and who cares if they're not drawing 20,000 people a night? We're in that mindset that, like, if it's not WWE, it's not wrestling. Man, that's wrong. Watch TNA on Thursday nights. It's different. Watch Ring of Honor on the Sinclair Broadcasting Network. It's different. Watch Ring Warriors. Come out to a show, bring your kids, you know, or if you don't want to bring your kids and you want to hang out with your buddies and drink beer, go to a CZW show, you know, and get that, like, inner hardcore, you know, out there. There are so many alternatives. If you know, kids, they can go to Chikara. You know, there's so many different independents out there that are giving out good quality wrestling. Just because it's not on TV doesn't make it bad.
I totally agree with you. There is a lot of options, stuff that we didn't have back then because we didn't know about it. We didn't have the internet. And all we knew was ECW, WWE, WCW. That is it. We didn't know of anything else. Everything was hush, you know?
Yeah, so, think about it. Like, if I'm a 17-year-old fan in 2013, this is the golden age for me. Because not only can I watch it on my television, I can pop up my laptop and I can watch it at any time. Holy crap, you know, New Japan right now is on fire. And their Dome show on January 4th is online. You know, and it's a five-hour show that I've watched in, like, five different parts because it's a long show. I can watch it at my convenience, and I love it. And, you know, there's so many alternatives out there. We need to relax and remember that, you know, wrestling's not dead. It's not broke. It's just different now. And we just got to go out there and find it.
Totally agree with you now. Steve, let's talk about the XOCpodcast.com. I was reading that you guys are on hiatus. Now you're going to go, you're going to be on season two around the end of March or beginning of May. And you got some really cool podcasts, man. I got to give you kudos for that. You could also visit worldofcarino.com. When can we expect another podcast? And what can people learn from this podcast?
People can learn that you can treat your best friend like garbage, and at the end of the day, he's still going to be your best friend. You know, it's funny because the podcast that we've done, we did 50 episodes. Well, Rob never thought we'd get through 15. You're going to fall off. You're not going to do this. And we ended up doing 50 before I said, man, let's take a break and, like, you know, do a season or something like that because, you know, me and him start at 5 a.m. Like, people don't even realize, like, at 5 a.m. we're both up and we're both hammering each other with text messages and tweets. And, you know, before there was Twitter and Facebook and even texting, you know, this relationship that Rob and I have had since, you know, 2000, I would pick up the phone, call him at 5 o'clock in the morning with a quick insult and hang up. And, you know, it just became a thing of, you know, it evolved into a podcast and, you know, our views on not just wrestling, but the world. You know, we have different views. This, you know, he's a movie geek. I'm a wrestling and baseball geek. You know, but we're both family guys, and we're both like guys that don't take ourselves too serious, and we have fun with it. And I think that's why people like it. And you know, it's going to be cool. Season two is going to be good because you know we get these topics. You know, whether it be the Pope, whether it be you know new movies coming out, whether it be something that we're trying to show like his movie or my wrestling dates and stuff like that. And we make it fun, and I think season two, he's got one of the reasons we took off for a little bit was he was getting a whole new computer system because we used to do it side by side once a week, but now I live in North Carolina, you know, I don't get to see him. He doesn't come out of his home because he's a big nerd. And, you know, with this new equipment, it's going to sound good, it's going to look good, and, you know, going back to baseball, if you're a fan of MLB Network's Intentional Talk, this kind of like what's coming up is like an awful version of Intentional Talk. It's going to be, you know, the two of us, whether it's sometimes it's going to be on video, and most times you'll be able to download it onto iTunes, but it's going to be fun.
And so we expect the next podcast when?
He wants to do it at the end of March because, you know, my wedding's in 3 weeks, and then he's got, like, the premiere of the movie that, even though it came out in December, he's finally doing a premiere because he's slow. And, it's one of those things where, it's probably going to be right at the end of the March, and we're going to be cooking 20 episodes, take 6 weeks off, 20 episodes, and we're going to go from there and see how that works out.
That is awesome. Well, Steve, don't want to take too much time from you. I know the State of the Union's on. We're going to catch that, right?
No, Utosh.0's on.
What was that?
Utosh.0's on tonight. Yeah.
By the way, I gotta love that Josh Poirot when he had the lady of the Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. Did you get, catch that episode?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Absolutely funny.
That lady has made a lot of money out of that one line.
Yeah, now people are using it in wrestling. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just insane. Well, she got
commission.
Steve Corino, Ring Warriors, February, Fury, Saturday, February 23rd, Broward College South Campus Gym, 7200 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. You can also visit ringwarriors.net.
Net.
Or .com, yeah, .com, for ticket information. You can get them right now. I believe they're a little cheaper if you buy them pre-sale. So just head on over to the website and you can check out all the information. And you can listen to past podcasts of Reno at the xocpodcast.com. Steve, anything else you'd like to add before we let you go? And your prediction,
hey,
who's going to win the championship this baseball season?
The Phillies are going to win. You know, I say that every year. But I don't know. Toronto looks great. Yeah, the Angels look great. The Dodgers look great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going with the Phillies. Got to go with my heart. I'm probably wrong, but let's go with that. World Baseball Classic, Japan for the three-peat. And then, you know, come see me on February 23rd. I'll have No Clowning Around movies with me. I'll have T-shirts. I'll have everything. Come out to the show. Have some fun. Watch me win another championship.
That is awesome. But you know what? I just got to say, Steve, that Toronto is now the new Miami Marlins because they took all of our players. So I guess
absolutely.
Steve, thank you so very much. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have you here in the Roman Show. Good luck. I know you're going to have a great matchup out there with Bruce Santee on February 23rd at Ringworth. Thank you very much. And we'll be in
contact.
We'd love to have you again here soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Corino. The king of old school on the line, great gentleman. Speak to us. Let us know a little information about baseball. His view on eliminating wrestling from the Olympics, which was a great point of view. Like you said, you know, maybe they could get together and they could create some sort of tournament and air it on television, and then they go ahead and create this following just for them. It's a good point there. I didn't really look at it that way, but I am still a little bit upset at the fact that wrestling has been eliminated from the Olympics. What do you think? Call in 714-868-0222. 714-868-0222 is the number. As we just heard from ECW veteran and wrestling legend Steve Corino on the show. With that being said, let's go to a small little break. And we'll be right back with top prospect Ricky Reyes here on the Roman Show.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to the Roman Show, and I know you can dig that, sucker!
Keep listening to the Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on the Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business? But you have no money. Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird. With these. Weird.
We're off Roman, The Roman Show with John Cena, the champ, former champ of the WWE.
And we are back here live on The Roman Show. We are reaching out now to Ricky Reyes, top prospect. He just had a tryout with the World Wrestling Entertainment, reaching out to him right now. Hispanic American wrestler.
Hello.
Getting in. Hey, Ricky, how are you, my man? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my man. Sorry we're a little late there. Pretty appreciate taking some time. Thank you, my man. You know, it's just a Hispanic thing, man. We're always late for everything, right?
Yeah. I know.
Ricky, man, thanks so much for taking the time and speaking to us. Well, let's first get down to the nitty-gritty of it. You had a tryout with the World Wrestling Entertainment. I know I've been seeing a lot of posts there on Facebook. You're excited, and it seemed all well. What's the status on it, man?
Well, they don't tell you too much, you know. I took care of, everything that I could take care of from my end, you know, as far as, like, the match and promos and stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's really up to them, obviously. At the end of the day, it's what they need, you know, or maybe what they see when, you know, they take a look at the tapes themselves and stuff. But overall, everything went pretty good. Unfortunately, I came in, I had just sprained my ankle really bad, like less than 2 weeks prior to the tryout. So unfortunately, I couldn't... I had a good outing regardless. I was told, and a lot of other people said to me that I had, like, the best match there out of, like, 30, I think we had 32 guys at this camp. So considering I was doing everything on one leg, I thought that was really good. And so, I mean, now they just kind of tell you, hey, you know, we'll give you a call in about a month or so and let you know what the status is. So. I mean, until then, you know, I can't really worry about it because it'll happen when it happens, I guess, you know.
Well, when you get a trial with WWE, that's when pain becomes numb, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I've been doing, like, the TVs and stuff like that. And, you know, I had a few years back, I had requested to do this, to go to Florida and try out. And, you know, it was just never in the cards for me. And then... when I was in the TVs in November, that's when they informed me that I'd be down there in early February to do the camp. So, yeah, it was good. You know, it's in my eyes, like I almost accomplished what I wanted to, at least with to some degree, because I've always wanted the WWE to want me, you know, and for them to, you know, invest that in me to come to the camp and try out and everything and take an interest in me was pretty cool, you know, to me, just to be able to have 3 days with Dusty Rhodes and William Regal and Norman Smiley and Joey Mercury and Billy Gunn at your disposal, you know, kind of critiquing everything you do, and Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe were there, you know, and it was just, it was a real blessing. It was just so much fun with the guys that were, you know, a few buddies of mine were there and stuff like that. And it just went really well. I just enjoyed the time there. So,
Ricky, I mean, tell me, take me back when you got that phone call or when you were first called by WWE and said, hey, we need you to work a match. I mean, you must have felt like a kid in a candy store.
Well, you mean there, or you mean just...
Well, the first time you were ever called. The first time you were ever called.
Okay.
Dark match.
Yeah, that was in, 2004, I think it was. I sent a tape at the time to Tommy Dreamer, and he was the person in charge of booking, independent talent for extra work. And I was living in San Bernardino, California, where I was born and raised. And then, so I was just sitting around watching some wrestling, and I'll never forget, Tommy Dreamer called me from the office from a block from an unknown number, so I didn't know who it was. And I didn't, at the time my girlfriend was like sitting next to me, and I didn't know if it was another girl or something. So I really didn't want to answer the call. So I was a little hesitant, and she's like, well, who is it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. So I kind of picked up the phone and started walking like out of the living room. And I was like, hello. And it was Tommy. And he was like, Ricky Reyes, Tommy Dreamer, WWE. And I was like, oh, yeah? And he's like, yeah, I just got done watching your tape. I really enjoy your work and wanted to know if you wanted to come in and do some extra stuff. And I was like, oh, and then it hit me like it really was him, So I was like, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, of course. And he goes, if you're not interested, let me know. And I was like, no. I was like, I just didn't expect it to really be you, because at the time we were always messing with each other, so I didn't know who it was. I didn't know if it was like Samoa Joe or like Rocky or somebody like being stupid, So I was just like, yeah, of course. So, I mean, that was really cool, And then, of course, I went. I think it was like a few weeks later. I went and actually worked Carlito. Carlito had just gotten called up, and he was traveling with them for he was just doing darks on the TVs. So I got to the building, and I was working out with a bunch of the guys that were there from Southern California. And I remember Sergeant Slaughter came up to me, and he was like, hey, Ricky, you want to do a match tonight? And I was like, yeah, cool, I'll do a match. And they were trying to figure something out. Where it was like there was going to be like a battle royal being taped on Heat or something, and they didn't know if Orlando Jordan was going to do the dark or if I was going to do the dark. And at the end of the day, they were just like, just put him in there or whatever. And me and Carlito went out and just had, an easy match. And, it was cool because, Staples Center was sold out. So, I think that was the night, I don't know if Rock was there or Austin. One of the two was there. So it was pretty, the atmosphere was pretty on fire and stuff. The crowd was really hot. Even on a dark match, they're still filing in. But, for the most part, there was probably like 12 to 14,000 people in there. And it was the first time I worked for WWE. Granted, I wasn't nervous as much as most people would think. Because 2 years prior to that, I had already wrestled in the Tokyo Dome, wrestled like Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask. So ever since I wrestled that match, all the air has been let out of me. I think the next big thing for me to get the oohs and ahs from as far as nerves would be obviously a WrestleMania or Madison Square Garden. I think those would be the only two places to really take my breath away. Because I know I was in the back and I was warming up and I was getting ready to walk up to the gorilla position, and my buddy Aaron was like, yo, dog, you nervous? And I looked at him, and I was like, no, not really. And he's like, you're not? And I was like, no, not really. I mean, none of these people know me, whatever. And so I was just, I was just ready to go out there and do the match, But, it got a little nerve-wracking just because we were told we had 8 minutes, and then right before we went out, they were like, all right, make it 5. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go, and shove you out of the curtain, and you're like, So.
That must be it. Being in the locker room with all these guys that are out there, I mentioned maybe Block or Austin, two guys you watch on TV. I mean, that would just be just exciting, starting to get the opportunity to just be in the locker room with these guys and share and speak to them, not in like a fan, but in a professional level to get advice from them.
Yeah, yeah, I'll never forget. Shawn Michaels was there. Every time I went to Staples Center, he was always he's always doing something on the show. And I don't know, I always thought, like, he's Shawn Michaels, you know, like, why would he talk to, you know, to me or any of the other extra guys, you know? So, like, me and I forgot what his name was, but he was just some local Southern California guy. I don't even think he wrestles anymore. And we were just kind of walking through the hallway, and we saw him, you know? And you always have, like, for me at least, I'm always torn between, do I go up to him and shake his hand? Because he's just going to look at me like I'm a piece of crap, you know what I mean? And I just, I don't know if I'm bothering him or if he's thinking in his head, like, oh, look at these schmucks, you know, like, walking my way. Of course, I got to smile and act like I care, you know. But he kind of, like, looked over at me and the other guy, and he was just kind of nodded. So I slowly made my way over, and I was like, oh, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you. You know, my name's Ricky, you know. And he's like, oh, you know, are you guys from this area? And, you know, kind of, like, had a little bit of small talk, you know. And then when you're walking to where you're going, you know, you're kind of thinking, I just had small talk with Shawn Michaels, you know, and he was, like, a nice guy. Like, you know, everyone's got their opinion of everybody, obviously, you know. But every time I ever saw him, he was very polite and professional. And I always looked at when guys like that and Austin and Taker, when they come to the back and they got time to shake a guy like my hand or something, you know, in their locker room, I always kind of find it funny when you go to other independent shows and then, you know, you got the tool bag of the locker room acting like he's too cool, you know, to talk to anybody new or anything. I always find that amusing because I always think, man, this would be the first guy that they, you know, throw out of the locker room in a WWE locker room. Or he'd be the first guy to kiss everybody's ass, you know. And it's funny to me just because, like, those guys are been there, done that at the top of the mountain. And, you know, they make time for guys like me, you know, just trying to make it there or just trying to, you know, just looking for an opportunity, you know. And same thing with Triple H. Like, every time I've ever met him, it's just been like, you know, he's been super nice to me. And, like, last time I did when I did the Ryback spot in May, we were just, like, joking around about working out and talking, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you know, we're just sitting here, like you know, he's one of the boys, you know, and so that's pretty cool.
Wow, now that is amazing that, you know, the guys that are still not there give you an attitude, and the guys who are there, they've been through it, they're just very kind and brave. It goes to see, though, that, you know, they've been there, they've done that, so it seems like they could only be humbled. You know, they could only be humbled to those who are coming into the game. And those who are
also
better, they're not there yet.
Yeah, like I also look at it like when you work for the WWE, even if it's for those couple days, or, you know, when you come to the camps and everything, like, nobody has an ego. You know what I mean? It seems like, you know, you're, especially when you do, like, the Monday, Tuesday, like, the TV tapings, it's very, everyone's on edge, especially at Raw, because everything's live, you know, and time is of the essence. So, you know, everything is, like, pinpoint, you know, let's go, let's go, let's go. And everyone just seems to be so professional, you know. So, to me, you know, it says something about the company, because you take your job seriously. You show up, you do what you're supposed to do, and then you can let loose, you know, and then everyone hangs out in the back and relaxes a little bit, you know, and it just shows that, because I know, like, when I've worked for WWE, and lately I've been doing it every couple few months, it seems, you just get that sense of, like, you want to be there, and you want to do well, you know, like everybody does, you know, and I think it starts at the top, like any company, you know, if your boss works really hard, you know, works his fingers to the bone, and everybody else underneath does it, you know. So it's a reflection on what Vince McMahon, how hard he works, you know, and he demands everyone else to work as equally hard, as hard as he does, you know. Because, I mean, you know, John Cena is not just putting around in the back doing nothing. Like, this dude is, you know, boom, boom, boom in the back doing all kinds of stuff, you know. It's like, oh, you got a photo shoot, and he's, like, running across this huge arena, you know. Oh, sign, you know, 5,000 pictures, you know, and he stands there with a marker in his hand and scribbles his name and has another guy pull the picture, you know, away from him and gives him a new one, you know. So it's like it's crazy, you know. It's like, oh, go do your Make-A-Wish, you know, and then he's, you know, he's in there spending time with, with people like that. And, oh, a spot for local sports news or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh yeah, go do your segment, you know, go do your match and then come back. And we got, you know, we're going to fly you across the country real quick and do another, you know, appearance. You know, it's like, this guy's going, it's like a machine, you know, it's unreal.
Now, I, what is up with you right now? Do you have any upcoming matches that people could be aware of?
I just got a call. I'm going to be in, I think it's Sparta, New Jersey, or Spartan, New Jersey, on Friday night for NWA on Fire. And then I'm going to be in Rhode Island on Saturday night for XWA. I think Vader, Big Van Vader, is actually there, just won their heavyweight title or something. So it's supposed to be a pretty big show leading in. I think they have like a huge event at a 10,000 seat arena next month. So it's going to be like a big event going into their next show. So
awesome. Now, I understand you're a big MMA fan.
Yeah. Like, I don't follow it as much as I did a few years ago when Pride was big. I liked Pride more than I liked the UFC. But what we used to do in the New Japan dojo was we would train with a lot of the Pride fighters because they would come through Inoki Sports Management to get booked in Pride. So they would actually come down and train with us and stuff. So with that, you know, you kind of follow those guys' fights and, you know, you become more of a fan of the Pride style than the UFC style. So that was kind of our thing. And I did a couple of amateur MMA fights in Southern California before I moved out here.
So what do you think in California? MMA is pretty huge out there. And I see those teams running an amateur league. King of the Cage is around that area. What do you think some of the wrestlers that I know a couple that are doing both pro wrestling and MMA. King Mo is one of them. So let's take a King Mo. You know, he was an MMA fighter, and then now he's going into with the pro wrestling with TNA, and then, you know, we go back to the Ken Shamrock, you know, when he dedicated all his time, and Brock Lesnar and stuff like that. But do you think we'll be seeing a lot of this stuff happening?
Maybe. Like, I train with Josh Barnett, and he does both pro wrestling and MMA, obviously. He, when I was going over for New Japan, Josh was down. He was actually, at the time, I think he was training with Matt Hume, maybe Seattle, I want to say, at the time, American Kickboxing Academy in Seattle or Portland or something, somewhere up north. And he would come down and stay 2 or 3 weeks in Santa Monica with us and train and stuff. And then he would tour New Japan with us. Him and Boss Rutan would tour New Japan with us. And then we came in for a big dome show for like Inoki Days or something, and Ken Shamrock came in for that. He came in a week before and trained with us too in Santa Monica. So it's possible. The reason why it's so big in Japan, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts like intertwining together, is because the fans are very educated on the techniques. And now with the UFC becoming so popular, now the American fans are becoming a little more educated. You know, like before they would boo when the guys would take guard or something, or, you know, like they would get mad. But now they're like applauding, like when a guy gets out of a guillotine choke or like a rear naked or something, you know, because they understand the technique. And that's credited to the UFC because they go through like technique of the week things, you know, and show you.
Yeah.
You know, certain things, and then they have a lot of the, you know, behind the scenes, like, oh, we're going to the Black Zillions gym for a week to document training, you know, so people now are becoming educated. And in Japan, fans don't see MMA or pro wrestling as one's entertainment and one's a sport. They look at it as the same. They just think of it as different fighting styles, you know what I mean? So, like, when you're touring New Japan, the fans don't tell you, oh, man, you had a good wrestling match. They tell you, oh, you know, good fight, you know, because to them it's all the same. You know, it's just like karate and kickboxing, You know what I mean? They're two different forms of stand-up striking, right? But they're very different, you know? So that's how the fans in Japan look at it. So with the fans in America, at least MMA fans, becoming more educated, there are some, you know, crossovers into pro wrestling. Unfortunately, the cat is out of the bag to some degree with pro wrestling, so it's very difficult to get the fans to mix, you know, because in Japan it's still sport, pro wrestling. You know, it's not as quote-unquote entertainment strictly, you know, as WWE is here, you know. So, I mean, there could be, I mean, if done right, it'll work, but history shows that it's not too high on what, because a pro wrestling fan wants to see pro wrestling. If he wants to watch MMA, then he'll go watch UFC, you know.
Right, hey. I know. I think it was last year. Was it? They had. I can't remember the company right now. It's not Wonder Seat, but I know they had. They had pro wrestling, and then it was followed by MMA. And Josh Barnett wrestled in that card, and they had to do is like 10 hours of wrestling and MMA. And they do this thing all the time on New Year's Eve in Japan. It's very huge, it's very popular.
Oh, it's, Inoki's, Inoki Bunbae. It's, IGF, I know.
Yeah, and it is just amazing. I mean, people sit there for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Nonstop action.
It's very high rating in on their TV, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's really amazing, man. Well, Ricky, so what's next for you, man? It's just pretty much going to be a little patient until they give you a call, and you'll just be traveling around the country, wrestling, and even the world?
I mean, you know, it's a goal of mine to be there, but it doesn't, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all for me. I have a lot of things I'd like to do maybe before or after, you know, WWE run. But, you know, I mean, I'm just got out of the gym doing some chest and stuff and, you know, I got two shows this weekend. The 23rd, I'll be in Center Reach, New York, in Long Island for King of New York for Victory Pro Wrestling. You know, I mean, March, I'm booked all of March so far. So, I mean, I keep busy. I mean, if people want to follow me on Twitter, I've just got a Twitter account. I guess that's my new thing. I guess I have to start doing that crap is Ricky Reyes at 01. You can follow me. But, you know, I'm just keep busy, you know, and seems like every other week I get another call. Hey, can you show up here? Show up there. So I get pretty busy pretty fast. So just doing that.
That's always a good thing, Ricky. That's
yeah.
A good thing. Hey, lastly, what do you think about some of the Hispanics in pro wrestling? And do you think we're going to have a big spark? You know, they gave Bucks the Rio the belt in WWE. But do you think we'll see some more Hispanic wrestlers?
I believe so. Like, you know, Del Rio is a good example of how passionate, you know, luchadors are because, you know, like, you know, the one and only Eddie Guerrero, you know, was, you know, the greatest all around performer, you know, that there, in my opinion, there ever was and ever will be. So, but the thing about Hispanic, you know, Puerto Rican, Mexican, you know, whatever, you know, there's a lot of fire, a lot of passion there, you know, and you see that with Del Rio when he comes out, you know, it's, there's moments where he gets excited in the ring and it's real, you know, and it comes through your TV type of thing, you know? So, you know, if with Sin Cara, like, you know, it seems like he's getting hurt, but it's because, you know, he tries these crazy things, you know? So if he can kind of catch onto that WWE style where he can tone it down a little bit more, he'd be less injured, you know, and we wouldn't have to see him constantly coming back from something. But I mean, he's just a phenomenal wrestler. Like a couple of friends of mine have been wrestling him on house shows and stuff. And, you know, just say that he's so smooth, and he is like so smooth in the ring and so light and, you know, his unique style. So those guys right there, you know, are helping guys like me, you know, like every time I'm in the back and I see Del Rio, you know, or a Sin Cara, somebody, like, I think, man, you know, like, you know, he's helping a guy like me, you know, because, like, before they wouldn't even look at me, you know, or really Eddie and Ray kind of laid that down first, but you know what I mean? Like, he's there doing it now, you know, and he's getting over and everything that he's doing, whether he's heel, whether he's face, you know, making it work. And hopefully it's turning some heads and making people look at other guys like myself and, you know, hopefully taking them a little more seriously, you know, than maybe they would have 5 years ago, you know.
Right. Well, Ricky, man, thanks so very much. Anything else you'd like to add? And I guess you can follow Ricky Reyes at RickyReyes01 on Twitter. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
No, just, you know, I have a wrestling school in Deer Park, New York, Victory Pro Wrestling. So if anyone's looking in the Northeast area to train, you can go to victoryprowrestling.com or on my Facebook. You can find me on Facebook or, you know, my Twitter page. I post up my schedule and about the school and stuff like that and the company there. So, you know, that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. Good luck on that WWE. And hopefully we'll get to see you on TV soon. And hope to have you here on the show again, man.
Hell yeah. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thank you, my man. Have a good night. Thank you, Ricky.
All right. You too. Bye.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it from the top prospect of Ricky Reyes, who has competed in promotions, huge promotions, World Wrestling Council, Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. We're going to get to speak about that. But the whole emphasis was on his tryout with the World Wrestling Entertainment, as he recently just tried out with the company. And as he stated, he's patiently waiting to see if he gets that call back. So, well, maybe he'll make it right back into the world of pro, into the world of World Wrestling Entertainment, which would be just awesome. We'll get another Hispanic American there in the WWE, which is just awesome to have there. And it has that representation of all the Latinos that listen to us here on the Roman Show. Well, yeah, the State of the Union is on right now, followed by Marco Rubio's rebuttal. You can check that out. He's going to be doing it in English and in Spanish. So that's going to be pretty neat. And that standoff with the police killer is still happening in California. They're saying that that he is indeed in the cabin. And the cabin is in flames. It is on fire. Waiting exactly to wait and see what's going to happen with that. Guys, if you happen to miss both the interviews with Ricky Reyes and Steve Corino, no worries. Head on over to RodolphoRoma.com. You can listen to the entire show right there. And then you can also listen to us on Stitcher Radio on your app and iTunes or on your Droid device. Stitcher Radio also on iTunes. You can listen to us and TuneIn Radio. You can hear the complete show right there, and then you do not have to worry about listening to it online. So make sure you tune into it anytime, any place, anywhere. Hey, I want to read some weird news here before we let you go. By the way, if you guys are with this whole Valentine's thing on Thursday, especially for you ladies, if you have nothing to give your significant other and you are living in South Florida, well, buy him a ticket to CFA Championship Fighting Alliance. They're going to have CFA 10 live mixed martial arts action. You can visit the Twitter account at CFA Fights for information, or you can visit their Facebook.com/Championship Wrestling. Also, Championship Fighting Alliance, sorry. And also, you can go ahead and buy him a ticket to, make it a double duty here, buy him a ticket to the Ring Warriors, February 23rd, Broward College South Campus Gym, 7200 Pines Boulevard. Carino and Santee will be going at it during the main event for the Ring Warriors Grand Championship. Guys, if you want to call in, feel free to do so. The number to call in is 714-868-0222. Follow the action on Twitter at RomanDH. Want to read this news here. Police say a Pennsylvania woman has been charged because she allowed her 3-year-old son to handle a gasoline pump and the child sprayed fuel onto himself. Jesus. Township police said Tuesday they filed a charge of endangering the welfare of a child against 46-year-old Teresa Morin Camara of Lancaster. Police say they were called to a supermarket on January 29th, 19th, and determined the boy removed an auto from the vehicle without releasing the handle the vehicle had left by the time police arrived, but witnesses gave investigators a license number. Jesus Christ. Kid would have blown up, man. Some people, man, they just don't really take care of their loved ones. How about this one? Aaron Dozenberry said he found glass inside bread from Vaughn's Bakery. Aaron Dozenberry bought bread every week from a Vaughn's Bakery in Bonita, California, until he made a shattering discovery. About a month ago, he told 10 News, this is from the Huffington Post, he bit into an artisan-style loaf and felt a peculiar sensation. It just started feeling more and more grainy. That was then I kind of realized something was wrong. He spit the mouthful into his hand and says he found green glass shred. Now, that is just horrible. Jesus Christ. Wow. Glass. That's just crazy. Hey, tune in tomorrow night, guys, 8:30 p.m. We're going to have Brian Caraway. We're going to have Kelsey DeSantis. We're going to have Stanford Taylor. She is fighting in the CFA 10 tournament. And she is actually, her only loss came to the hands of Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is the only person that defeated her in her amateur career. And now she is a professional. Will be fighting at CFA 10 here in South Florida. The action starts at 8:30 p.m. And also we will be talking to a coach, a wrestling coach, Coach Corey Ruff. He is part of the Lindsey Wilson College in Kentucky. He is going to give his two cents on his feelings on the Olympics eliminating wrestling. Who in the blue hell would think of that? Come on! Also, we're going to have some XFC fighters tomorrow night. They'll be in action coming this month, February 22. Yeah, February 22, the XFC. So make sure you tune in tomorrow night. We'll be talking to mixed martial arts action and so much more. Hey, with that being said, enjoy the rest of the evening, guys. Make sure you let the world know who we are. This is The Roman Show. If you want some free stuff, tweet us at RomanDH. First two followers get free merchandise on the house. At RomanDH, follow us right now. With that being said, follow us. Visit our website, too, RodolphRoman.com. Check up on all of our past shows right there and then. You can also click on some cool videos on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/RRoman0201. We are live on location near the University of Miami, The Roman Show. Letting you know, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, we are back to talk mixed martial arts. Till next week, guys. We won't be on next Tuesday, but the following will, with R.J. Brewer. He is a professional wrestler. And guess what? He doesn't like immigrants. That's not only his gimmick. That is really the way he really feels. Good night.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Aroma. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Aroma. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.